Hello and welcome to another edition of the Dennis Wing E-Courses. Today's course is on chord arpeggios, okay? And this assumes that you know at least the major seven arpeggios up and down the neck. We're going to use the key of C major as our example today. So let's say if you're at the third fret, we'll use the arpeggio that looks like fifth string, third fret. 4th string, 2nd fret, then 5th fret, 3rd string, 4th fret, then 5th fret, 2nd string, 5th fret, 1st string, 3rd fret, 1st string, 7th fret, and back down. Okay, and we're going to talk about why arpeggios are important and the use of arpeggios. So when you have a chord progression, at any given moment, you can access chord tones or scale tones, right? The chord tones are the 1, 3, 5, and 7 of that chord. The scale tones are the remaining ones, namely 2, 4, and 6. Now, occasionally, you'll have a 2 chord or a 6 chord or something, and suddenly those become chord tones because they're named in the chord. But generally, if you're talking about, you know, 7th chords in jazz, minor, major, or dominant, or half diminished or diminished, you're talking 1, 3, 5, and 7. So I'm using general rules here, not the exceptions. So what I mean is, you have a C major 7 chord. You can obviously use a C major scale. Which, as you know, consists of 7 notes before the scale repeats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This next C, then you're repeating. That's called the octave. Okay, so you have 7 scale tones. Of those scale tones, 4 of them are chord tones, meaning the 1, 3, 5, and 7. So what an arpeggio does, it gives you the ability to go from thinking horizontally to thinking vertically. What I mean by that is, horizontal means, okay, the song's in C, for example, and I'm going to use my C major scale as the basis for my improvisation, regardless of what the chords are exactly. The vertical approach, it means I'm addressing each chord as it goes by. You know, if you had to write out a C major 7 chord, you know, like in standard notation for piano or guitar, you would literally write C, E, G, and B, those notes stacked up upon each other. And that's where we get the term vertical from, meaning you're addressing each chord as it goes along. By knowing your chord arpeggios, you can address each chord. You can know where the chord tones are within a scale and address each chord tone individually by playing portions of the arpeggio, you know, right in the middle of your improv. Let me just give you more of an example. And you don't even need a progression. Suppose it was just a regular old C major 7 that you're playing. So let's say 2, 3, 4, C major 7. Okay, let's just, and I'm gonna play around with the scale. And everything sounds fine, but if I wanna give it a little vertical motion, I'm gonna throw in portions of that arpeggio. So I'm going to play mostly a C major scale and also throw in portions of the C major 7 arpeggio. 1, 2, 3, 4. And what happens is you're automatically getting leaps and skips in your lines. You're not just playing scalarly. You're playing in so a scale is considered a series of steps. You go from 1 to 2 to 3. Those are steps. Whereas a skip is, you know, 1 to 3 or 2 to 4. I'm skipping a note. So those are skips. And then leaps are wider intervals, any wider interval than that, you know. So by being able to address the arpeggio, you're able to not only play stepwise by knowing the scale, but you're able to do skips and you're able to do leaps because you can visualize where these notes fall, and you know they're going to be within the chord, and you know they're going to work in your improvised line. So just demonstrating a little more that we're in C major 7. I don't even have a chord progression. So I started getting into some chromatics. Chromatic simply means you're addressing non-chord tones. This is another thing that arpeggios do is, if you can see the chord tone, then you can play a half step below it and resolve it into a chord tone, and that will make sense. Suppose you took that C major 7 arpeggio around where we were, the third fret of the guitar, and your arpeggio looks like, again, you know, so on the fifth string it's 3, then fourth string 2 and 4, and the third string 4th fret, you know. But if I took below a half step for all that, it would sound like this, you know. And then, so if I use that in my line, now all of a sudden that E flat that was an avoid note can work. That F sharp, which was not in our scale either, now works if I resolve it to G. So let me just demonstrate that. So I'm going to use the scale of C. I'm going to use my arpeggios. And I'm going to use a half step below each note. Alright. So, I'm just playing around with those things, but I have confidence now that some of those outside notes, as long as they resolve to chord tones, will also fit. 2, 3, 4. Try a little bit. Okay, so now that you've been exploring the difference between horizontal and vertical over one chord, now let's say if we have a simple chord progression, let's just keep it super simple and just call it C major 7 and D minor 7, the one chord and the two chord, okay, back and forth. Let's say it was two beats each. Sounds like New York, New York a little bit. So, you know the arpeggio for the C major 7, we talked about that before, the arpeggio for the D minor 7 in the same general area would be 5th fret, 5th string, then 4th string, 3rd fret, 3rd string, 2nd fret, and 5th fret. 2nd string, 3rd fret, and 6th fret, and 1st string, 5th fret. So, again, from the root on the 5th string, the fret numbers are 3, 5, 3, 2, 5, 3, 6, 5. Coming back down. No, sorry. Okay, and there's our D minor arpeggio, and we're going to use that right over the C major scale that we know we can use. Again, I'm just reiterating, if the chord progression is C major 7 and D minor 7, that's all in the key of C, so you can easily improvise horizontally over the tune using a C major scale, and it'll all fit. But if you want to access the chord tones over the D minor 7 chord, then you would visualize that arpeggio, that chord arpeggio, or play portions of it in your improvisation. So now I'm going to demonstrate the handiness of knowing chord arpeggios over a progression as opposed to just one chord. Again, it's C major 7 and then D minor 7, both for two bars. And listen to the improv. I did was I made damn sure I was on a chord tone on the first beat of the new chord. Okay, so when the D minor 7 chord comes around, I'm gonna be you're either on a D, an F, an A, or a C. You know, basically one of those notes in the arpeggio. Alright, listen to the improvised line again. Again, what I'm doing is I'm using C major 7 to improvise on the whole thing, but I'm also accessing the chord tones by knowing where my arpeggios are, and I'm going to land on those notes in key positions, especially like on the first beat of the new chord. 1, 2, 3, 4. I started to use a little bit of a half step approach behind each chord tone. Let's talk about that on the D minor. So instead of the fifth string fifth fret, you could use the note just under it, C sharp to D, and then instead of F you could do E to F, instead of A you could do G sharp to A, and then instead of C you could use B to C, and then D you could use C sharp to D. So 1, 2, 3, 1. You know, so that's what it sounds like. Going back down. You know, it's interesting. You suddenly get all these chromatics going on. So now let me use all three. The scalar approach, the arpeggio slash chord tone approach, and the chromatics below the chord tone approach, all at the same time. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now let's expand it out to a 1-2-5-1 chord. I mean progression. So we're in C, and this one chord is C major 7, the two chord is D minor 7, the five chord is G 7. This requires your knowledge of a G 7 arpeggio, which looks like on 6th string, 3rd fret, then 5th string, 2 and 5, 4th string, 3 and 5, 3rd string, fret 4, 2nd string, fret 3 and 6, and 1st string, fret 3 and 7. Come back down, 1st string is 7, 3, 2nd string, 6 and 3, 3rd string, 4, 4th string, 5 and 3, 5th string, 5 and 2, and then finally 6th string, 3rd fret. It sounds like, alright, so those are our three arpeggios. C major are 7, D minor 7, and G 7. Forgot to hit that high B, and now we're back in C major 7, and now I can do the scalar approach over the whole progression because it's all in C, and I can access the chord tones on each chord. So the progression is C, 2, 3, 4, and again 2, 3, 4, D minor, G 7, again C for 2, minor 7, and listen to the improv. Thank you. started getting into some more chromatic things. But that's generally how it works. I mean, if you talk about your hierarchy of notes, your chord tones are the most sort of consonant, and then scale tones, and then chromatics would be the most dissonant. So consonant means, you know, it sounds very, very informed, very, very, you know, unsurprising. You know, it's not right and wrong. They're both good. Consonant and dissonant is both good. You need both in music. If you have something that's completely only dissonant, then no one's going to want to listen to it. If you have something that's just completely consonant, then it's, you know, elevator music, and no one will listen to that either. So it's not better or worse. It's just a question of what you want at what time, based on your taste and what style of music and everything else. So just to repeat, the chord tones are the most consonant. So obviously the most consonant notes over a C major 7 chord are C, E, G, and B. The most consonant notes over a D minor 7 chord would be D, F, A, and C. And the most consonant notes over a G7 chord would be G, B, D, and F. The other three notes that aren't one of those chord tones but are in the key of C, whichever they are for that particular chord, those would be a little less consonant, like an F. You play an F note over a C major 7 chord, you know, let me try and demonstrate that. It would sound like this. You know, that note sounds pretty horrible for that, right up for that chord. But in context, you know, you could deliberately play an F to delay the resolution. Delayed resolution is remember I said how I was making the chord tone go on the first beat of the next change? Well, that's because there's no other accompaniment, and I want you to hear the chord change even without anyone playing chords behind me. But if someone playing chords behind me, I might deliberately want to add some tension and play the F note first before I resolve it to either G or E, you know? So let me just demonstrate that. 2, 3, 4. You know, and I use that F note to resolve it. So I'm not trying to say that you should always play a chord tone on the first beat of every bar, but if you want consonants, then you should. If you want dissonance, play something else. And then last but not least, the outside notes are the most dissonant. You know, I mean, play an F sharp or there's exceptions to every rule. I mean, F sharp in this particular case might sound less consonant. That less dissonant than F itself. You'd have to experiment with that to see what I mean. But that's beyond the nature of this thing right here. You know, E flat, notes like E flat and C sharp and B flat and A flat, you know, those are all dissonant notes to a C major 7 key, to the key of C. But demonstrating about how to use the hierarchy over any particular chord progression, I'm going to demonstrate again the 1-2-5-1 progression in C, and now I'm going to use the scale tones, and then the outside notes, the more dissonant chromatics, as we call them. So again, we're in C major 7 for two bars. C major 7 for two bars, D minor 7, and then G7. And here's the improv. Thank you. So what I'm doing is I'm deciding on the fly how much dissonance and how much consonance to give you. There was one thing right in there where I started getting a little crazy, and then I decided, okay, now I'm going to just land right on a chord tone of a D minor chord to make sure that you're with me in terms of where are we in the song. If you listen back, there's a part, I slowed it down for a tiny second where I'm deliberately playing the chord tones of a D minor 7 just to make sure you're with me in the progression. So I'm balancing consonants and dissonance, and the way I do that is by interspersing the scale with the chord tones, i.e. the arpeggios, as well as the half steps, meaning like a half step right below the note. There's also a thing called the agiatura, which you will learn. I suppose maybe we should get into it now. It's extremely useful. I mean, this could be a whole topic unto itself. Extremely useful device in terms of making balancing chromatics with chord tones and everything else. It's scale tone above any particular chord tone. In this case, we'll use C. So the chord tone is C. Scale tone above would be D. And a half step below the chord tone, the tone in mind, which would be B. So the appoggiatura on this C note would be... So the notes are D, B, C. Okay. Now we're going to do appoggiatura to every chord tone in a C major scale. The next one, of course, is E. Okay. And a scale tone above would be F. Half step below would be E flat. And the target tone is E. So again, the appoggiatura on an E in the context of a C major 7 chord is F, E flat, E. So I'm just going to review what we just did. We took the first note of a C major 7 chord and we did Re, Ti, Do, if you will. That's what I call it. You know, the Re meaning Do, Re. And then Ti is the 7th. But that gets a little misleading, because then when we go to the 3 note, you know, if I say Re, Ti, Do, it's not literally that, because we're not dealing with Do anymore. We're dealing with Mi, Do, Re, Mi. So I use that loosely. But the main thing is you do the 3rd of the chord and then up a half step. I'm sorry, scale tone above, which in this case is up a half step, but it's not always. And then a half step below the chord tone, and you're back at your third note in the scale. So it sounds like... Now we're going to target the G, the 5th note in the scale. Okay, appoggiatura is scale tone up, which is A, half step below, which is F sharp. So it's A, F sharp, G. So, last but not least, we do B. The scale tone above would be C. The half step below would be A sharp. So, C, A sharp, B. All right, so the whole appoggiatura on that chord sounds like... And you could do it backwards, too. That fast, but you will get that. And that's a huge thing. Let me just demonstrate that on a C major chord without changing any other chords. So I'm going to play mostly scales, and I'm also going to use appoggiatura on each chord tone. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm doing it all over the place. Did it to the 5th, did it to the 3rd, did it to the 7th, right in my lines. Or right there, I started off the line with the arpeggio. You know, I play that stuff all the time. So I'm actually targeting B, but my first note was C. I played C, A sharp, B. And then whatever. I could start and end with the arpeggio tour. Right? You heard it at the end, and you heard it at the beginning. And it sounds like I'm playing a lot of stuff. I'm really not. I'm just using that device within the scale. Playing around a little more with the arpeggio tour. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so right there I actually added an F sharp before the A, which you can do that as well. So let's say I'm targeting the G note. I'm playing, the arpeggio tour would be A, F sharp, G. But in that particular case, I did F sharp, A, F sharp, G. And it sounded just as fine, you know? So you can do that. You can extend these things. You can even put a chromatic in there. So you're targeting the C. The arpeggio tour is D, B, C. Or as I demonstrated, you could do B, D, B, C. And extend that even further, you could do B, D, C sharp, B, C. You're kind of enclosing, it's called enclosure. You're enclosing the chord tone. That's a huge device right there. So I'd have to walk you through that again. I'm gonna walk you through that right there. So, appoggiatura was D, B, C, right? But now we're gonna do D, B, B, D, B, C. That's this middle step. And then the third step is B, D, C sharp, B, C. So the last note you hear is the one I'm actually thinking of in my mind. And then, so let's target the E, and I'll show you what that looks like. Regular appoggiatura is F, E flat, E. And the second way to do it is you start on the E flat, F, E flat, E. Right? I'm making you wait for that. Right? And then the third step is you add a chromatic. So in this case, it would be E flat, F. I would play it like this: E flat, F, D, E flat, E. So it sounds like. So again, repeating from C and C, it would be, and then for E, it would be. Sorry. And then if we did it on G, if we did it on B, so listen to the effect of all those appoggiaturas and chromatics on that 2, 3, 4. All over the place, and it just sounds like it's outside the key, but it's really not. And I'm in control of chord tones and non-chord tones. That's a lot right there. That appoggiatura is a whole lesson in and of itself. Just reiterating, the appoggiatura is scale tone above, chord tone half step below, and then for E, you're a chord tone above, which in this case is a half step below, and then for G, it's chord tone above, which is A, half step below, and then for B, it's C, D flat, B. All right, have fun.